Today, we're going to talk about how to attack today, living in today. Whenever it's just funny, because whenever I ask, like, you go up to somebody and you're like, hey, man, or girl, whatever, what's like your favorite time in your life? Like, they'll be like, oh, like 10 years ago when I was in college, or like, oh, I can't wait for 10 years from now, you know, when my kids are gone. Like, you get those answers all the time. But it's always like yesterday or tomorrow. It's never today. Like, we never look at today and go, this right here, this is the highlight. You know, it's just weird to me. And I believe that the reason for that is that there is pressure in today. You know, yesterday, you know, pressures of yesterday are gone. Like, we made it. It's done. Like, we're here. It was rough, but we made it through, so we're good. You know, tomorrow may be, like, just super smooth. Like, there might not have, nothing bad might happen tomorrow. But today, I'm living it today, you know, woke up early, got the kids ready, got the husband ready, like, three times, get up, man. And so then, you know, we get together, you know, we're driving in. Everybody's losing their mind. Like, I made that girl's hair like three times and she keeps pulling the bread out. I don't get it, you know. So we get to church, you know, registration. Oh, look, it won't print for me again. Great. So then you go through that. You get to service. Then you're thinking like, all right, here we go, service. I got to go to lunch. Like, you don't even, like, focus on what's happening right now. Like, you're thinking about, like, we got to get this thing together for lunch. Got this birthday party we got to go to. Then my parents are coming over. Then, you know, we got to get ready because school's coming. It's tax-free weekend, so we got to hit Walmart. I don't want to go to Walmart. There's a million people in Walmart. Like, I just don't want to go. And so then, you know, you go to Walmart. Then you come home. Then you're like, man, we haven't washed clothes in, what, a year? Let's do this. So you're washing all your clothes. You're doing your dishes. And so then, like, 9 o'clock rolls around, and you're like, all right, that was fun. You know, this is good times. So the pressure of today is real. It's palpable. It's tangible. You got it in your hands right now, on your heart, in your mind. Tomorrow and yesterday, like, not so much. So we want to talk about how we can maximize and attack today so that our today can be our greatest moments. So the movie, it's, you know, series is Summer at the Movies, right? So the movie today I want to talk about, it's a super funny movie, but also one of those movies that you're like, huh, that's real, is Click. It's with Adam Sandler. We'll watch a clip in a second, but his name's Michael in the clip. So Michael is he's a normal dad guy, you know. He's got his wife, his two kids, and he works his job all the time. Like, he's just working all the time because he's trying to get this promotion, because he feels like when he becomes partner, then everything will be fine. Everything will be smooth. Like, you won't have to worry about it. He'll have plenty of time for his family. He'll have plenty of time to enjoy what he wants to enjoy. So everything he is focusing on is set on that partnership, right? So the guy who's his boss is like, hey, man, you close this account that we're about to do, and you got it, like, your partner. So he's like, all right. So he's working real hard. He's like, had to tell his kids, like, hey, man, we had this camping trip planned, but it's not happening. Like, we're not going because I got to work through this thing. So he works through. He nails it. They go out to eat. He nails the interview with the people. They really want him to do it. So they accept the bid. And so he goes back in the next day. And he's, like, talking to his boss. And his boss is like, whoa, you're not partner yet. And Adam Sandler's like, what? Like, you said. You ever had that happen where, like, somebody's like, all you have to do is X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, there's no more letters, W, X, Y, and then Z will happen, you know, and so, I know, right, that'll happen, and then so you do W, X, Y, and yeah, I can go backwards, and I just realized I can do the alphabet, anyway, so you do X, or W, X, Y, and Z doesn't happen, you get like Q, and you're like, I'm back to Q, like, what happened, So I've had that happen in my life, and I know that frustration, and that's kind of the moment that he's in right now. So if we could just throw this clip on.
Amber didn't make your partner today. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. But we'll get through this, okay? I promise.
Jeez, man, that's all we ever do is get through it. When is it gonna end?
was a mix-up of Daddy's work, and we just need to bring the bikes back for now.
But I already told Kevin O'Doyle I got a new bike.
Well, we can paint my old bike and make it look new.
That's a girl's bike. All the kids make fun of me. No.
Take this. Fast forward me to my promotion.
So here's the Michael Newman, the greatest partner I could ever dream of.
Here.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. My family thanks you. I'm gonna do the best I can, and I won't let you down. I promise.
Thank you.
How's it feel, killer?
Feels incredible, sir.
You earned it, I'm telling you. Not just because of that Watsuhito project either, but for helping me pick up the slack now that I'm spending time with my special lady.
Hey, Dinky.
Are you kidding me? You guys have been dating a couple of months now? That's pretty huge for this one.
No, the first few months were easy. It was the one-year hump that was the tough part.
Her inappropriate weekend with my brother in Cabo. Well, that was a potential speed bump, but, well, Dr. Bergman helped us work through it, didn't he, honey? Mm.
Hey, how's it doing for you and Donna?
Dr. Bergman? What do you mean?
Oh, you know what, sweetie? It's none of our business. Let's let Michael bask in his glory. Cheers.
Bask away, partner.
When we try to avoid the hard truths, they don't go away. Like, it's not like the issues go away. And that's what he did. You know, when you avoid the hard truth, because in that moment, that feels like I can just pass over this and skip that section and go straight to my dream, because, you know, living in that moment is harder, or and fast forwarding to the next and just say I'm going to skip it sometimes seems easier than dealing with that pain in that moment. So what we do is we just put our head down and we just autopilot through. Every time he hits fast forward on that remote, you know, I have a remote. It's not that special of a remote. It's not that remote, unfortunately. But actually, it's probably good for me. But every time you hit that fast forward button, like, it sends him on autopilot, right? And so he's just kind of like that zombie mode, like when you get home after working for, you know, 3 weeks straight with no days off, and you got your family roaming around, and you're just like eating the spaghetti like, I just want to go to sleep. I just want to, and that's like kind of the mode that he's in, right? Because he's just like, this torture is never ending. Like, I'm never going to get that promotion. So instead of sitting in that moment, taking the tough times, taking the struggles on, he says, I'll just skip over that. But the problem with that is it don't leave. It doesn't go away. It just multiplies. It just becomes complicated. And the more that we just keep our head down like that, the more complicated life gets. And it's so easy to complicate life when we avoid those situations. When we say, just skip me forward to the next chapter. Just skip me to the next chapter of my life. That's when it'll be good. So I want to talk about a certain scripture today. And this is one of, like, when I read into it, like, it's one of the most, like, tense situations in the Bible to me. Like, just the whole attitude of the moment, like, the people that are involved, what goes down, what the purpose of the moment is, like, all of that wrapped up in a ball is just a super tense moment. And I like when I do things, like, when I read the Bible or really read anything, which I like to, like, play the movie in my head, you know, I, like, put people as characters or whatever, and they like act it all out in my head, and it's really fun. Like, you should try if you don't do that. But just in case you don't have that sort of I don't know, imagination, I wanted to have this acted out for you. So if I could get my volunteers to come forward, that would be awesome. I'm gonna move this stuff back for a second. So we're gonna go through this scripture, and these guys are gonna act out the scripture for us, and it's gonna be amazing. Yeah, good. You got your prop already. Look at you. You know what's going on. All right. So, we got Brandon. You'll be a soldier over here. Malchus, you go over here. Brian. Caleb, you'll be a soldier. You can be Judas, all right? You'll be Peter, and you can be Jesus. Look at you. Yeah, it's great. Perfect. All right, so just want to set the stage real quick. So Jesus, this guy right here, he's been praying. Like, this is the part where it's right after the part of, like, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying super hard, and he goes, and he's, like, started sweating blood. He goes up to his disciples. They're all napping, you know, and he's like, hey, guys, like, all I did was ask you to pray. Like, can you do this? So he goes back and he prays, and then all the disciples are still napping. And so I could just, like, I just try to put myself in people's places when I'm reading stuff. I just put myself in people's, or Jesus's place, and I'm just like, I'd be so frustrated with these dudes. Like, I'm asking you one time. Like, we just had this huge supper. Like, we talked about what was going to happen, and this is what you're doing. Like, it was a big deal. Like, this is a big moment. You guys are just sleeping, you know? So that would be my mind space if I was Jesus, which I'm not, thankful for all of us. So that is where we are in the story, all right? And so in Matthew 26 is where we're going to be, verses 47 through 56. And then I got one little scripture from Luke that I'll throw in there. The name of this title is Jesus is Betrayed and Arrested. So get yourself in the mindset, all right? Ready? All right, so what's going to happen is I'm going to, like, talk. And as I talk, if I say your character, like, I'll point at you if you don't do what I want you to. And I'll say, do what I want you to do, you know? And so if you don't, I'll tell you, okay? Is that clear? Good. All right, I'm going to try to stay out of the way so you guys can, you know, make it happen. So, verse 47, and even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, step forward, yeah, look, at, great job, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. Swords and clubs, yeah, good job. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. The traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. Whoa. Hey, we'll just keep this PG, okay? It's fine. Okay. So Judas came straight to Jesus. Hey, you did good job. He says, greetings, Rabbi, he explained, and gave him a kiss. Jesus said, my friend, go point at him. My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for. Then the others grabbed Jesus. Others, soldiers, grabbed Jesus. Malchus, get over here with your soldiers. All right, so they grab Jesus, right? Where am I at? Oh, yeah. And but one of the men with Jesus, Peter, pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's servant, Malchus. Boom. Cut his ear. His ear, not his head, his ear. All right, that's good. That's a super sharp knife, okay? You're going to have blood everywhere. Look, blood's everywhere. It's crazy. So he cuts off his ear. And then in Luke, this is where I inserted this Luke. In Luke, we find that Jesus actually at that time picks up the ear off the ground, right? He picks it up. No, it's over there. All right. And then he puts it back on Malchus and heals him. Boom. It's fixed. Perfect ear. Look at that. And then he says to Peter, all right, he says, put away your sword, Jesus told him. Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describes what must now happen? Then Jesus said to the crowd, so like the soldiers, Malchus, that whole mob, you know, he says, am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day. But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in scriptures. At that point, you'll represent all disciples, okay? They fled and deserted him. So just leave, okay? And that is a cut scene. Good job. Everybody. Yeah, good job. Yeah, we love it. It was great. It was perfect. You guys did fantastic. I don't even know if Hollywood could do it better. So here we are in this tense moment of when Jesus is getting arrested. You have all these people coming to grab him. You have Peter slicing ears. Like, it's crazy. It's just chaos all over the place. But Jesus, you know, is Jesus, and he's setting himself, you know, up for a great moment here. So what I like to do is I like to take the scripture and these great volunteers, and I want to dig in to a couple of different characters in this story, Okay, so we'll start off with Malchus, who was the servant of the priest. Like, he was a servant of a priest. So I want to get to know him a little better, so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what I found out about Malchus, okay? So, one, he's a servant of a priest, a slave of priest, either way you want to call it. He would have been, you know, at the temple regularly with the priest so that he could have maybe heard Jesus' teachings. He was a member of the crowd, of course, to coming to get Jesus, right? Because he was there in the moment. He got his ear cut off, so that happened. And then he was also, and this was something I just put in there because I'm like, wow, that's kind of a neat thought. I didn't even think of that until I was studying this time, was that when he healed Malchus's ear, like that was the last miracle Jesus performed before the crucifixion. So that was pretty crazy to me. So we look at Malchus and we're just like, dude, this guy, wrong place, wrong time, right? Like this guy, he just was just a victim of his own circumstance here. But when I looked into it a little deeper, it didn't really feel that way to me. So my question when I'm looking at Malchus now is Malchus a victim or was he a volunteer? Because when we look a little deeper at who Malchus would have been in that time as a general statement, like, so he wasn't just a servant to the priest. He was Caiaphas, who was the main guy against Jesus. Like, he was the priest of that time, right? Like, he was tops. And so he was the one that was like, we got to get rid of this dude, like talking about Jesus. He can't be saying what he's saying. Like, we got to figure something out here and just end it, you know? And so Malchus was his servant. So what that would mean, if you were a servant to the priest or a slave to the priest, it's almost like a career path. So it's kind of like an internship. So his goal is to become at one time a priest and then in the end a high priest. Like, so that's what he's wanting to do. All right, so when I start thinking about this, I think about him, and he's like, you know, this is a crazy internship I'm going through, but I'm just going to do what he tells me to do. So as a servant, he was following orders, you know, without claiming any of the responsibility, because he's just like, hey, man, I'm just doing my job, you know? Caiaphas told me to go get you. I'm coming to get you. I'm losing ears. Like, I don't know, you know? And so then he was also, since he was with the head priest, he was the head priest's servant. Like, you got to know, like, you can come to a very easy conclusion that he was at the temple all the time. Because if you're Caiaphas' servant, like, you got to be better than everybody else's servant. Otherwise, you wouldn't be with Caiaphas. So so he's there. And so if he's at the temple, and Jesus, who just said in that sentence, remember when he's like, I was at the temple, I was teaching. So that means that Malchus had heard Jesus' teachings, had heard his teachings, soaked him in even, and said, man, yeah, okay, that's good, you know. So he was not only part of the crowd either, number four, he wasn't even part of the crowd, he was a leader of the crowd. Otherwise, he would not have been in striking distance of Peter. Like, it wasn't like he was like 10 dudes deep, you know, because I know we only had a couple people, but it said it was a crowd of people that came. So funny how the crowd turns on you so easy. Like, you know, just a week ago, everybody was telling Jesus how great he is. Now they're here, you know, pitchforks and, I don't know, did they have pitchforks back then? Anyway, they probably had torches and junk. Like, so they're all here coming for him. And Malchus is in the front, and you know that because he gets his ear cut off, you know? Peter would have to have, like, some, like, super good throwing star aim to, like, knock him down 10 deep, you know? Like, can you guys just spread out? I really want to get to this guy, you know? And that's not what happened. So, and he was the only one physically harmed in that time, which is pretty remarkable, thinking, you know, I'll get into that in a second. But so he was not just a servant, right? He was the servant, you know, of the high priest. And he was doing kind of the autopilot thing, where he's like, I'm going to go, I'm going to do what, you know, Caiaphas tells me to do. Like, and as long as I'm doing what he wants me to do, like, I'm kind of under his covering, so I don't have to make any decisions for myself. So I can just roll with it. I can just go on autopilot, you know. And just like Adam Sandler and his clip there, like, he went on autopilot, and come to find out, him and his wife are now talking to Dr. Bergman is, you find out a couple scenes later in the movie, is a marriage therapist, marriage counselor. So he's been on autopilot and all these random bad things because, once again, when you avoid your issues, when you avoid your problems, when you avoid your struggles, they don't go away. They just multiply and they grow. Like, you got to attack them. And he did not. And so Malchus, not attacking his problems, not attacking the things that he thinks are wrong, because he was with the priest. Like, it's not like, you know, Malchus, like, woke up, you know, he wakes up that day, whatever day it was, you know, he wakes up and he gets up, you know, gets a sleep out of his eye, brushes his teeth, whatever, goes up to his wife, says, you know, puts my suit on or whatever they put on, and he kisses his wife. And then, you know, he's like, see ya, babe, you know, I'll see you later. And then he watches his kids, like, ride off with the camels and to school. And say, hey, bye, guys, love you. Then he's, like, sitting there, he's on his way to work, you know, just, like, going to the temple, like, I can't wait, today's going to be a great day, you know. And then he's thinking to himself, you think he's thinking, like, is today the day my ear gets cut off? Like, because that's what I want to do. I want to set myself up so that at some point in the middle of the night, some rando is swinging swords at my face. You know, that's what I want to do, you know, today. That's not what he woke up thinking, right? He made several decisions, you know, because what happens is when we keep our head down, that's a decision in itself. And we just let whatever happens, happens. You know, we look up and there will be swords swinging at our head because the issues don't go away. They just multiply. So when he kept his head down, that was his decision that he made. Like, he might say, well, I didn't make any of the wrong decisions. Well, your decision to follow wrong decisions is still a decision. Choices he made rolling up to that day, throughout that day, that's what placed him at the garden. That's what placed him at that point of being one of the main guys coming to arrest Jesus. And eventually getting him assaulted with a sword. 90% of where you're at, 90% of the time, you're not a victim of your circumstance. There are rough circumstances, I know, but you're a victim of your own decisions. You're a victim of following through too many times with bad decisions, or making one bad decision, saying, well, I can't fix that, I'm just going to roll with it, you know, and not turning around. There are rough circumstances. I know that. I get it. I've been in rough circumstances too, but I made choices to overcome those circumstances. Malchus did not. When he put himself on autopilot to do the bidding of a corrupt system, which, if you think about it, like as people in general, like, you know when you're doing something wrong, especially an adult. Like, you know if you're working at a place that's doing bad stuff, underhanded stuff, like, you know you're there. You know what's happening is wrong. You know if you're treating somebody bad. You know if a crowd is treating somebody bad and you're in on that crowd. Well, I'm not the main guy. I'm just around, you know. That's still a decision to be around that. It's still a decision to work for that corrupt institution. Malchus had to have known. He was at the temple listening to Jesus preach, listening to Caiaphas preach, listening to all the priests preach, listening to God's word almost all the time as a temple servant. So he had to know the path he was walking down, the choices that he was making were leading him down a path of destruction. Your future and dreams, they don't just pop up. Like, you don't just wake up and go, oh, here we are. I'm to where I want to be. You have to set those up. It takes planning. It takes prayer to get there. If you put yourself on autopilot and ignore the signs, it doesn't mean, once again, that the issues go away. They just keep multiplying and combining, because this world isn't built for you just to achieve greatness. Some of us think that way. It's so funny how, like, I know because I've done this, and it's just like, you're just like, why do I think that? But, like, it's like my world and everybody else, you're just living in it, you know? Like, we have those moments in our mind where it's like, it's just me, and then everybody else kind of rotates around what my earth does. But that's not the case. Like, there's millions of different worlds. Like, all of us are our own worlds. We have all these bubbles that we have, but we think our bubble is the most important. And that because of our bubble, like, we're going to just do what we want and achieve, like, these great dreams. And it's not the way it is. This world is one world, and we're all living in it together as one group of people. So to achieve your greatness, it's not just going to be handed to you. That's not the way that this world is. This world has negative stuff in it. This world has an enemy roaming around trying to destroy you. This world is not planned for you to succeed. You have to fight for it. You have to plan for it. You have to pray for it. You have to listen. All right, so let's look at our next person, all right, which is Peter, you know, hulking out for Jesus one ear at a time, you know, freaking out. And I know we can look at it and we can say, like, we all get it. Like, you just put yourself in his position. You've been following this dude around. You know, you've had some crazy times together. Like, you've seen this dude do crazy miracles. You know, you've followed him all this time. And here these guys are taking him away from you, saying they're going to put him in prison. And you know what happens to people like that. Like, people don't just grabbed up in the middle of the night, you know, by a mob and thrown in a cushy prison cell. Like, that's not where he's going. So, of course, what he does is he does what any good friend would do. He, like, strikes out, tries to save him, cuts down one of the leaders, you know? So it's easy to look at this and say, man, Jesus, or Peter, man, he is a hero in this. But when you look more close, again, just like with Malchus, a question come up to my mind, is he a hero or is he a coward? Because we got to look at the whole context of the scripture and what happened. Like, literally, Jesus just told these dudes, his disciples, like, hey, man, this is what's going to happen. This is about to happen. Like, he's told him several times about his death and all of this. Like, so Peter knows that this is supposed to happen. Like, this is the God's will. This is what God wants to happen. You know, he cuts a guy's ear off, you know, which in itself, and that's why I said I wanted to get back to that one part, that, you know, Malchus was the only one injured. These dudes did not roll up to be like, so we're just here. We're going to take this one guy. We're not even going to cuff him. Like, you can just come with us. Like, we're not going to be, you know, we just want to be peaceful about this, you know? Like, that's not what they did. Like, they rolled up, and they were a crowd, and they were a mob, and they were like, I just hope one dude, like, moves fast because they're all going down. Like, we're chopping them all down, you know? And so that's kind of the mob mentality, you know? And so when Peter jumps out, slices dude's ear off, these guys, in their mind, could have been like, that's all I needed. Woof, 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 whack, 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 you know, whatever noise, you know, things in the air make, you know. And so just taking down all the disciples. He put all of his friends, his purpose, Jesus' purpose, all of this stuff in danger in that moment. And then the third thing is, in the end of the very last part of the scripture, what does it say? That all of the disciples fled and deserted Jesus. All of them, every one of them, would include my man Peter with the crazy sword happenings. So he ran away after he did that. So it's like one of those, like, sucker punches, like, you know, and he runs off, you know. So that's not really a hero move, you know. So I just look at it and I'm like, man, I feel like Peter, like, in this moment, in this place, like, it all became real. Like, for the last couple of years, like, we've been hanging out. Like, we've been running around all over. Like, miracle, miracle, food, 5,000 people fed. Like, boom, 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 all this great stuff. We've been running around. Yeah, you're the Savior. You're the Messiah. You know, and in this moment, though, like, this was the moment. Like, this is where the fun part of Messiah turns to the hard part of Messiah, you know. And so, as the follower, he's got to choose, like, you know, and so I don't feel like it was anger that sliced off Malchus's ear. I feel like it was more fear and doubt that sliced off his ear. I feel like in that moment when it became real, like, Peter was like, I mean, I kind of trust you, what you're saying, but you're really my friend, and so my emotions are really tied to you, so I'm going to do what I can to free you right now. Even though you just told me, like, a little while earlier, like, this was all going to happen and it needs to happen, I'm still going to do what I want to do, you know? When we let our choices be made by emotions like fear and doubt, we cripple what can happen today. You almost ruin a moment that has to happen. We make rash decisions with no forethought. We cause this drama for the sake of drama. Like, there's no need for this. Like I just told you, Peter, if you trust me, I just told you what to do. I just told you what had to happen. For Peter, it was, you know, I believe the fear of being wrong about it all in that moment. I feel like the whole thing just crashed down. The moment where he had to make the choice, like, do I trust in Jesus? Do I trust in what he says? Or do I take matters into my own hand? And that kind of showed exactly where his heart was in the moment. Like, it wasn't, his heart wasn't in Jesus' hand, you know. His heart was in his own hand saying, I'm super upset. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I got this sword. Like, why did he even have a sword in that moment, you know? Like, if he was fully trusting God and fully trusting in Jesus, why did he need to have a weapon to attack somebody with? You know, so in our, when the chips are down in your life, when the chips are down in my life, do I default to what Jesus has told me about my life? Do I default to what God has, you know, shown me? Do I default to prayer? Or do I squeeze harder and I take that remote and I just squeeze it harder? And I said, you can't have this because I know what's best. You know, even though I say, like, I trust you and we're in this together, like, in this moment, I got to do what I got to do, you know? What do you do? Because he just squeezed. He took it all in his own hands. Our final person today is Jesus. The truth, the example. You got, you know, Malchus, the volunteer or victim. You got Peter, who's hulking out, you know. And then you got Jesus, you know, the example, the truth. You know, just to go back to the garden part, like, even up until that, like, to know what he's having to about to have to do, right? And then, so he has a whole prayer. He's like, if you can take this cup, God, like, that would be awesome if I didn't have to do this, you know. So, you know, and he said, but either way, like, I'm going to do what I need to do. You know, my mind is straight. My mind is focused. So then he comes down. Of course, those dudes are sleeping on him again, you know. And then Judas, you know, comes. And you know, he's just like in this crazy, frustrating moment, I think. You know, even though he's God, and I know he's God, but he was also in that moment, he's flesh and he's human. The dude was so stressed. I mean, he just finished sweating blood. His friends all fell asleep. The one guy, like his rock, you know, he just cut some guy's ear off. And you could just tell, like, he knew, like, today, man, today. And he knew, like, that was crazy. Like, because he knows, like, he's getting arrested, and it's going to be rough, right? And he knows that. It's not going to be a good day, man. That's what he's saying to himself. But he didn't flee. He didn't run. He didn't even resist. Like, he just stood there and took it, you know? He knew he had to do that, you know? And in that moment, it's crazy too, because he's still like teaching and training in this moment. Like, he could just shut down and go, okay, here's the bad part. It's going to start. Let's just get this over with, you know? But that's not where he was. Like, he was in a place to where he was still training and teaching not only his disciples, but the people that were taking him. He says to him in that scripture, he says to Peter, like, man, put the sword down. Do you not realize? Like, if I wanted to, I could ask God to send me 1,000 angels down here. I could. He says, but that's not what I'm called to do. Like, I'm called to be this guy. I'm called to be this sacrifice. He's saying, dude, we just went over this, Peter. Like, we just talked about it. You're only hurting your purpose and my purpose by striking out and lashing out in those ways. And then he turns to the guy, the crowd, you know. He says, look, man, like, am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come to me with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was just up there teaching every day, it says. Every day he taught. What I get out of that, he's saying, like you were just soaking up my teaching, going, man, that is a good word. Because they wouldn't let him teach every day if they didn't approve on what he was teaching in that moment. Like, because he wasn't the high priest. He wasn't that guy. And he says to them, like, and this is what you do, like, you treat me like I'm some kind of vigilante, like, violent person, right? You come at me in the middle of the night, like, you could have arrested me easily at the temple when I was there, but you didn't. You come at me in the middle of the night, in my prayer spot, my alone spot, you turn my friend against me, you bribe him. And all of you that are a part of this, like, this doesn't seem shady to any of you? Like, that's why that, like, why didn't you just arrest me in the temple? Like, you guys don't see what's happening here? Like, you guys are in the temple every day just like me. Like, I'm up there teaching, you know? But they just put their head down and they did what they were told. Nonetheless, going through all of this, he did what he had to do to fulfill his purpose. Because what happens in the struggles, what happens in the fight, like that's when our true colors shine. Like that's when it shows who we truly are. And he attacked that situation with direction. He even restored it because it could have went crazy. Because when Peter cut off Malchus's ear, like these dudes could have rioted over the... I mean, you're talking about 12 disciples versus who knows how many is in a crowd. But he set the tone and he was like, look, put that sword down because I need you guys. I need you guys to do great things because I'm about to go away and you're all that's left. But if you start acting crazy like this, these guys, they're going to do what mobs do. He didn't go on autopilot in that rough time. He didn't just accept, like, this is just where we're going now. The whole time he's going through all of this, the arrest, the beatings, the crucifixion, all this time, all he's doing is forgiving people and asking God to forgive people. And even though we might not look at this scripture as some highlight scripture, like this was a moment. This was a huge, heavy moment. It affected like four lives immediately, but then it affects all of us in general. So like, you had Judas who would end up, because of this whole betrayal and arrest and all that, he would end up basically going crazy in his mind and committing suicide and killing himself. Peter, man, that dude fled. He denied Christ three times. That's why I feel so confident that it was fear and doubt that was leading Peter in this moment. Because not only did he do this action, run away, but he also later on that night, like, denied Jesus three more times. He denied, he repented, but then once he repented, he turned it back around. And it shows us, like, we can go on a wrong path, we can stray for a minute. But if we repent and we say, God, show me, Jesus, show me the direction, like we can get back on track. Malchus, you know, lost his, like this dude had super crazy night. Like he's showing up, he's like, this is what we're doing. Let's get everybody together, let's go get him. So we're like, all right, we're coming out, we're coming to get you, you know. And then gets his ear sliced off. That was unexpected, I'm sure. Then even more unexpected, the guy that you just arrested picks it up off the ground, slaps it back on. Good as new. He could probably hear like Superman or something after that, you know? So you know that guy's world was rocked because he's like, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, and it never says that Malchus like did anything with that. Like it just leaves him there. So like, does he end up saying like, man, I'm going to change my life for Jesus? Or does he just keep going along with it? Because we can have great high times with Christ, can't we? We can have these moments that are just like, boom, when I got saved, you know, when I came to this worship service, when I was really down on my luck, boom, God did something great for me. But then we never hear about it again, or we don't see your face for 6 months. Like, it's about a lifestyle, and Malchus was a boom candidate, but you never heard about him again. Like, I would think if he would have just changed everything around, like, you would have heard about it. You would have been like, because look at Paul. Like, you hear about Paul? Like, he could have been a Paul. And then, of course, there's Jesus, who would go on to fulfill his purpose, obviously, thankfully, to be a perfect Savior, to be the one that sacrificed, the Lamb. Because of his submissive sacrifice, like, we are all changed too. Because what happens if, you know, Peter cuts the ear off, everything starts going crazy, and Jesus and all of them they all took off running. Like, in that moment, you don't think the soldiers loosen their grip a little bit? Like, oh, dude, this guy's chopping people's ears off, you know? Like, I get out of the way. But he didn't, he just stayed. And he did what he had to do. You never dismiss an opportunity and never fast forward through struggles or fight scenes. Because those are the ones that build you, man. Those are the ones that give you something to stand on. Those are the ones that make you who you are. You can't change tomorrow, or you can't change yesterday, at least. And you can't control tomorrow. But today, man, you can make a difference. Not only around you, that's great to make difference around you, but make a difference inside you. Like, make a difference and say, like, I'm going to start making right decisions. Because it starts today. If you say, I'm going to start making right decisions once I get that promotion, I'm going to start making time for that when I get my promotion, or you start saying, like, when this happens or that happens, that's when I'll do this. Like, if and when, sometimes they don't happen, you know? Like, those times never come. So you got to do what you can today, because that's all you got. Like, right now, this moment, that's all you got. Yesterday is who we were. Tomorrow is who we may be, depending. But today, man, today defines who we are as individuals and as a people right now. So you got to ask yourself, like, what can I do to make my today the best it can, to set up my future? Because remember, futures don't just pop up. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and then all your bad things are gone just because you avoid them. All this passive-aggressive nature that's going around right now, all that awkward, you know, celebrating the awkward stuff, like, and not just attacking it, like, that builds up. Like, it doesn't go away. If you don't attack it in reality, attacking somebody or attacking something on social media doesn't count. That doesn't count. You got to attack it in reality. There's too many people that are two different people, you know? Be you. And attack this reality to set yourself up to have greatness. It's not going to be handy.